and thank all of you for being here this morning. Certainly I'm thankful for the good rain last night, as I mentioned in our Bible class this morning, and I'm quite sure that you are too. And we're not going to be taking an assessment here this morning of who got the most rain, but I can tell you for sure that we did. But anyway, it rains on the just and on the unjust alike. And for whatever reason God chooses to give more to some than others, that's His business. But we are glad you're here this morning. And if you are visiting with us, we hope that you'll come again. It is good to have Brother Rob Lee Swallow in our audience this morning. Rob Lee and his family we have known for a long time. He is the former minister for the Memorial Christian Church here in Palestine. And I'm certainly happy that they're here this morning, as well as other people who have come to visit our services. This morning I want to share with you a lesson on the subject of connections. You know, we all talk about people that have connections in life. You've heard people say of some, well, you know, I'd really like to get to know him better because he has a lot of connections. Well, that's not the connections that I'm talking about this morning. But I do want to talk about connections that we find in the Word of God, and that you and I ought to be connected one to another. In the book of John, the 13th chapter and verse 35, the Bible says, "Hereby shall the world know that you are my disciples if you love one another. For a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." You know, the church is about people who are connected to one another. You and I have made the connection to one another, but we have made the connection to our Father who is in heaven as well. And that's the most important connection you will ever have in your life. Sometimes life is a big puzzle, and we wonder how we will ever get it, all the pieces, to come together. I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at the lives of others and I see them as those who struggle through life to really make connections with other people. It's difficult for them to make friends. You've seen people like that. I have too. Some people have a way of being able to make friends real easy, and others find it real difficult to do that. But life is a puzzle sometimes. Sometimes we wonder if we will ever, ever get it together. When you think about puzzles, let me ask you a question this morning. How many of you like puzzles in here? Anybody? I'm going to tell you something. I hate puzzles. My wife loves them. I mean, she could sit around and work puzzles all day long. And there are times when she comes to me and she says, "Darling, would you come help me put this puzzle together?" I said, "I'm already working on one." Every day when I get out of bed, I'm telling you, there are all kinds of puzzle pieces that I try to bring together. Now, you may like puzzles. I don't really like them, as I said. But what do you really like about puzzles? Which piece is the most important? Now, I'm going to tell you, if it were me, the piece that would be the most important is that last one. That last one. It isn't easy to make connections so that it turns out to be just like the puzzle designer intended for it to be. I'll be honest with you. I used to put puzzles together, and I got to where it became such a laborious task that I just started trying to force pieces together to get through with it. And that's not the way that you do it. But what would really happen in life if you went to put a puzzle together and half of the pieces were not there available to you? It'd be very frustrating, wasn't it? Well, that's the way sometimes people find life itself. Did you realize that the church is a puzzle? It is. Today, believe it or not, God calls for us to be connected one to another and to Him. He does. Too often, people try to live their life in isolation. They don't want to be connected to the church. They don't want to be connected to anyone. How many times have you ever heard people say, "Well, I can be a Christian without ever being a part of the church"? Do you realize that Jesus Christ died for the church? Do you understand that the church is his body? Do you understand that Christ is the Savior of the body, Ephesians chapter 5, and he wants us to be connected one to another? We cannot live in isolation. Again, in the book of John, the 13th chapter and verse 35, the Bible says, by this, listen, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I've often said that the great identifying mark of the body of Christ is our love one for another. It is so true. And that's why John would write over in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and also chapter 4 in telling us of the importance of loving one another. In the Word of God, or in God's Word, the Bible says, when you stop and really think about this a moment, a Christian without a church home is like a heart without a body. It is like a sheep without a flock, or even without a shepherd. It is like a child without a family, and I'm telling you, it is an unnatural state. It is. God did not put you in isolation. Listen, you are not a sheep without a shepherd, or a sheep without a flock. You and I, the church is called a number of things. It is called the flock of God. It is called the bride of Christ. But probably nothing more profound than the fact that you and I are a family of God. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. That you and I are family members, and when one hurts, we all hurt. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. And when one has a need, we all have a need. We try to respond to that need. And we were talking about that this morning in Bible class, just how important it is for us to reach out and help one another with their needs. You realize again that John says that if we see a brother or sister that is naked and destitute of daily food, and we say to that brother, be thou warmed and filled and go your way, he says, how dwelleth the love of God in us? You may say you love, but there is no manifestation of your love. The church is so important. You know, I've been called on many, many times to conduct memorial services for people who claim to be Christians but were never connected to the church, never connected to a religious body. You and I need to be connected to one another. We should be. The Bible says that the church is important in the eyes of God. For in the book of Acts chapter 20, when Paul met with the elders from Ephesus, he told them to feed the flock of God. There's that word. Over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Christ shed his blood for the flock. He shed his blood for the family, that is the spiritual family, the church of the living God. In Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people. He says, you are members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You and I are the building blocks of the church of God. The church is not the building. You've often heard people say that, but it's true. But for some reason or another, we still refer to the building as the church. You probably got up this morning and said, well, I need to go to the church. And you were talking about the building here. But the building is the body itself. You and I are in the church. Now, there's some real false beliefs and false concepts that people have about the church. And I've already mentioned it, but it's true. Many believe it is possible to be a good Christian without being a member of the church. But God would strongly disagree. He would. You know what? I can't imagine anyone wanting to be a Christian without being a part of God's family. That's just so beyond me why people wouldn't want to be a part of his spiritual family, the church. If Jesus died for it, if he loved it enough that he gave his body on it for it on the cross, then why would we not want to be a part of it? It is so important that we be members of the body of Christ, and not just members in general, but that we be active members in the church, involved in the kingdom of God. Too many people are Christians in name only. Too many people want their name on the church roll. And listen, we went through this not long ago when we started publishing a new directory. People told us, oh, yes, I want to still be considered a member at Crockett Road. Don't take my name off the roll. But they haven't been back since. A false concept. If Jesus says the church is important, folks, I consider it to be important. Sometimes we'd rather be yoked with the world than we had to be yoked to one another and connected to one another. For the Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with the unbeliever, for what fellowship, he says, hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Now that's a very good question, isn't it? Why is it, if we claim to be Christians, why is it that we'd rather be connected to the world than we had to be connected to the church? You know, the greatest friends I have are in the body of Christ. And in reality, and someone said this the other day I was studying with, and it's so true. The church really becomes your family. You become much, much closer sometimes to those in the church and in the body of Christ than those who are sometimes physical members of your family. It is true. You've heard the old expression that blood is thicker than water. I'm telling you, we ought to be connected one to another. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 through 27, the Bible talks about the church and it talks about Christ. And then it talks about, parenthetically here also, the husband and the wife. Now, in this whole text, Paul is really talking about Christ and the church. And even though we used it, and I even quoted it yesterday at the wedding for Robert and Lois, and it's a very good passage and a great analogy when it talks about the husband and the wife. But in reality, Paul is talking about Christ and the church and how interconnected they are and how joined they are together. He said it's like a man and his wife. Listen to what he says. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleaning her, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word to present her to himself a radiant or a glorious church, the King James Version says, without spot or wrinkle or stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but that should be holy and blameless. The church of the living God. Christ loved the church so much. And he says the husband is to love his wife in the same fashion. When we talk about the word church and we talk about connections, we need to understand that the word church is just simply the called out. Now that means that you and I have been called out from the world. The Greek word is the word ekklesia, and it means that you are called out from certain things. You and I have been called out of sin. We've been called out of the world. We've been called away from the things that threaten the body of Christ. We've been called away from things that are damaging to our lives in a spiritual sense. Well, why are connections so important? Let me tell you something, too. Do you realize that you and I are connected, interconnected to each other? We are. You know, you're not just connected to one brother here or one sister here, but we are connected one to another. We are the body of Christ. Connections add strength. You know, if you had one strand of that rope up there, it might be pretty easy to break. But when you twist them together and you connect them together, it almost becomes impossible to break or to tear apart. It does. It is so true. If I had a telephone book like this one up here, and I've done that before, brought one into the pulpit, and I were to ask you the question, if could you tear that book apart? You couldn't do it. You could not tear that book apart. You just could not do it. And I would dare any of you to do it, and if you think you can do that, we'll be meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and I'll bring one, and we'll allow you to try. But have you ever noticed Satan's tactic, if you will, to destroy or tear that book apart one piece at a time? One piece at a time. God has a plan. God's plan is that we all draw upon each other's strengths. One thing I've learned in the church through the years is the fact that one person may be strong in one area and weak in another, and weak in another area over here and strong in another area here. And we build upon the strengths of one another to unite us together. Jesus prayed for a unity among believers. In the 17th chapter of the book of John, he prayed, "Father, may they all be one as thou, Father, art in me, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." He prayed that we all might be one, united. And yet the religious world today is so divided and fragmented, it's like many families that are so fragmented and divided. It is so true. You and I have an identity. The church family, it really does, identifies you as a genuine believer in Christ. How can one claim to be a follower of Christ if he is not? If he is not committed to his church? Well, a lot of people claim it, but it certainly doesn't make it so. You and I must be connected to one another in Christ. The one another, the thought of one another, is a very interesting thought. This one another aspect is important because in the New Testament, there are over 50 references in the New Testament about how we are to relate one to another. Over 50 times, one another. We love one another. We suffer with one another. We have fellowship with one another. We forgive one another. We sing to one another, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. And in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28, the Bible says, "You are all the sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond or slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ." And you and I should honor that connection. It is an honorable connection. Sometimes people, as I said, are connected to the wrong people in the sense that they run with the wrong crowd. You know, for a long, long time, my parents used to tell me, "Don't run with the wrong crowd." And I often wondered who the wrong crowd are. The wrong crowd are those people that are going to bring you down instead of lift you up. The wrong crowd are those who are going to draw you away from God instead of bringing you closer to Him. God has a plan. He does. And when we are connected to Christ through baptism, we are connected to one another. But we must choose to honor that connection in our choices and in our actions. Some people don't do that. Some people do not honor it. Just like some people do not honor the marriage commitment. We are one, and God wants to lead us as a group of His children. You know, in a civil sense, you and I are citizens of this great country we call America. We're citizens of Palestine, Texas. Some of you reside elsewhere. Maybe some of you live in different states. But in a common sense, you and I are connected because we are Americans. And have you ever noticed that when someone does something to our country or tries to tear our country down or perhaps they would fire a missile maybe into some country that we consider to be an ally, that we raise up in arms. We're ready to fight because we are Americans. Well, in the church of the living God, you and I are members one of another. Let me ask you a question this morning, thinking about it. To what level are you connected to this congregation at Crockett Road? you may say, well, my name's on a roll, and I've been a member here for a long, long time. And I show up for worship, so I'm connected. We are identified as a believer not just by our church membership or our attendance, but by our involvement in the church. How involved are you in the kingdom of God? Are you a worker or are you a shirker? We got a lot of shirkers, but how many workers? We sing the old song quite often, I want to be a worker for the Lord. But do we? Someone said we sing standing on the promises when all we're really interested in doing is sitting on the premises. How involved are you in the kingdom of God, in the church? And what am I doing to promote the church family and the ministry of Christ in this community? Now, let me get a little bit more specific here. That's a little generic. What do you do about your neighbors and those that don't know Christ? How involved are you in trying to teach them about the Jesus that you say that you love? Have you tried to make connections with them? Do you? Do you promote the church? Do you ever bring it up in a conversation? Do you? You know, we generally talk about things that are important to us and things that we love. Things that we really consider to be important, we're going to bring up. Listen, people have been talking about... Are y'all familiar with the word sequester? Is anyone in here familiar with that word? I need to preach on that tonight. I thought y'all had heard that word. Well, I've been hearing about it for weeks. And by the way, we are in sequester. And we're doing pretty well. We had heard all the predictions about the sequester, and you know our country would be falling apart. And by the way, no more visits at the White House. Are you aware of that? I hadn't planned to go anyway. But we hear about a lot of things, and we talk about current events, don't we? Things that are important to us, we talk about, we bring them up in conversation. We talk about the weather. We talk about politics because it's important. Well, we talk about sports. We talk about the economy. We talk about the Dogwood Trails that are coming up over the next 3 weeks. Important to us. How important is Christ in your life? And how often do you ever bring Jesus up in your conversation with other people? Some of us have a level of spirituality as much, and it is much less than what Christ expects. There are some things that we need to be reminded of every day. Some reminders. We are a unit globally and locally. Did you know that the Church of Jesus Christ is worldwide? It is. And it should be, for Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not should be condemned. But the church is also seen not only globally, but it is seen on a local level as well. You and I have a responsibility to that local church. I'm not accountable. Listen, I am not accountable to any other church. I'm not accountable to the church in Tyler, to the church in Elkhart, to the church in Frankston, Dallas, Texas, Fort Worth, Timbuktu. But you and I are accountable to one another here. Jesus is the head of the church. And as I've told you before, he does not reign in Rome. We got a lot of folks who believe we have the right now to honor one in Rome. They're trying to decide now which one we're supposed to honor. Well, I'm telling you, Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. There's another thing you need to be reminded of, and that is that we need you, and you need us. That's a two-way street. We both need one another. We do. Sometimes people say, well, I don't need the church. Yes, you do. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There will come a time in your life when that need will be evidenced. Now, life may be going great for you right now. You may be financially secure. You may be healthy. But I'm going to tell you, let God take away all of your money and all your finances. Let God take away your health. You'll perceive the church in a tremendous different light. When you're laying on your deathbed with cancer, and it's eating away at your body, you, as family members, will have a little bit different view of what life is really all about and what is important. It is true. Satan is always working at division, while God is a God of relationship. God is always trying to bring us together, and Satan is always attempting to divide us. And God says that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Connecting to members of the body of Christ helps us. It helps us to be more complete in our walk as Christians. Well, now, how do I get connected to Christ? You know, that's a big issue with a lot of folks. How do I get connected with Jesus? How do I get connected with him? How do I do that? Let me tell you how I do that. I do that by faith in Christ and obedience to his gospel. That's how I do it. Some of you are talking this morning and disturbing others. I don't want to call any names here this morning, but I might have to do that. And I say that in love. But if that persists, then we're going to have to do that. We get connected through Christ. We get connected by our faith in Jesus and by our obedience in baptism. And when we come to understand what it really means to be a Christian, then all of these things come together in a greater way. And we have a greater depth of understanding of why connections are so important. You and I are connected to Christ when we are buried with Christ in baptism. And when we are raised out of that water, we suddenly become connected to Christ. You don't connect to Christ just simply because you believe in him. But you're connected when you're baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And that's what Christ says, isn't it? In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You put Christ on in baptism, and you become God's child. And that's the only way that it happens. And I'm telling you, I can't think of anything more horrible than to leave this world without being connected to Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You could be connected to all kinds of friends here. You could be connected to all kinds of civic organizations. Your name could be up in lights. But I'm telling you, to not be connected to the one who gives you eternal life is a serious, serious mistake. We need to be connected to Jesus. And we can put the puzzle pieces together. Sometimes we are the puzzle piece. And God asks us to connect to Him. Isn't it time this morning to get connected to Jesus? Well, the real question this morning is, will you connect to Him? Will you obey Him? And if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you're not a child of God, I urge you, because of the great love of God and His desire for you to obey Him and to be saved, and the fact that you could lose your soul disconnected from Him. And I hope this morning, if you're not a Christian, that out of great love for God and appreciation for what the Master has done for you by shedding His blood and giving His life, that you would come in humble obedience to His will to be baptized this morning for the remission of your sin. And if you're a child of God and you've strayed and you've erred from the faith, and this morning would be a great time to come back and acknowledge that and say, I've sinned against God. I want to do His will, and I want to be restored in my relationship with Him. And Dwight has selected a song of encouragement that we're going to sing to give you that opportunity to do that as we stand and as we sing.